I was taking too long to move, so I got pushed out of my comfort zone.
I don't think I ever got out of my comfort zone.
I think you can inch your way out of it and you still get the same result.
Honor the baby step.
Stepping out of my comfort zone usually involves me doing stuff by myself and exploring by myself and coming back and sharing after the fact.
Mm. The comfort zone isn't comfortable, it's just familiar.
The strategy that got you here is not going to get you to whatever you're working toward next. Get on my motherfucking face.
Please. Push the goddamn button.
Yeah, action.
Today, we are talking about comfortability. It's often in our lives, in our careers, just in general, where we get very comfortable with the things that we've been doing. And I mean, there's something that Damani has been saying recently. I think it's from Seth. Is it Godin or Godin? Seth Godin, where he says, basically, the strategy that got you here. What's the part?
I don't remember the quote, but what got you here is gonna get you to your next.
Yeah, that.
To the next spot. Mm-hmm. I don't remember saying
today's
that.
Today's strategy is not tomorrow's strategy. Yesterday's strategy is not today's strategy. That's not what he said. But really just thinking about the idea that the strategy that got you here is not going to get you to whatever you're working toward next. And we have great experience, immense experience in this and getting out of our comfort zone. And sometimes it can be difficult. So I just want to ask you guys, what are your initial thoughts? Just like when you hear the word comfort or the idea of a comfort zone, what is your thoughts on that?
My initial thought is, I don't think I ever got out of my comfort zone. Hmm.
Do tell.
That's it.
Okay.
I don't think I ever really stepped outside of my comfort zone. I be comfortable a lot. But I do agree with the Seth Godin paraphrase that what got you here is not going to get you there.
Mm-hmm. So, before I ask you, well, actually, let's hear your thoughts. And then I have a question for you, Bree.
The question was, what do I feel about?
Yeah, like when you hear the idea of comfort or the idea of like having a comfort zone or being in your comfort zone, where does your mind go? How do you relate to it?
When I hear it, I think of it in two ways. One, that the regular way that everybody talks about it, like you have to get out of your comfort zone. But then the other, on the flip side, I think of it as just you being comfortable with the environment and the things that you're able to do. I think you have to work to get to a space where you can be comfortable in the space so that you can operate at your best and then eventually move out of it. So that's what I think of when I think of comfort zone.
Do you feel like you, because Bree said he feel like he never left his comfort zone. Do you feel like you have left your comfort zone ever?
Yeah, I definitely have left my comfort zone before. I think I'm currently leaving it a lot more. I don't think it's a need to leave it drastically anymore. I used to think I had to be a very drastic way, or I had to leave it in the most extreme way. I had to go completely outside of my comfort zone. I think you can inch your way out of it and you still get the same result. I don't think you need to go all the way. Like if you used to being in hot climates, I don't think you need to go to Antarctica to get the feel. Like that's a very drastic change. I think you just going to the East Coast might be a big enough change, and then you can eventually get there. Mm. But I think you should, it's going to sound weird, but baby step your way out of your comfort zone.
I was going to say honor the baby step. So for you, Breeze, Sir Breezington, what do you feel like would be, I guess, required for you to leave your comfort zone?
Listening to myself.
Hmm. I would say do tell, but I feel like you're going to say that's it.
I was just going to say most of the stuff that I think about, most of the stuff that I think about, want to do, speak, it'd be uncomfortable journeys or destinations. So I just pick a safer route a lot of times.
Mm. Interesting. I actually feel like you leave your comfort zone a lot more than you realize.
I'd be a lot I'll be a lot more comfortable than maybe I'll be baby stepping instead of big stepping. I need the big step rather than baby step.
So you feel like you need the big step. You feel like you need the baby step.
The reason I feel like I need the big step, because this is going to go into another topic, but because typically, whatever my environment or whatever the speed of whatever is going on is, I could easily just get in the lane. Like, it's easy to merge, and with I could drive with traffic, no matter what the speed of traffic is. Once I see the pattern, I see what's going on, I can get in there easy.
Interesting.
So, yeah. So I was having a conversation last week, maybe, and I was like, Atlanta is too slow for me. So I would want to be in a bigger city. Like, if I move into a city, I would want to be in a bigger city, that stuff actually happening, stuff actually moving. And it'd be a lot of smoke and mirrors here. So it looked like people got motion. People don't be having no motion. So, like, being somewhere where stuff actually happening, stuff moving, being with the amongst the movers and shakers. If you listen to my music, you hear me talk about the movers and shakers a lot. But being in that type of environment will help me. Well, it'll allow me to move as such, or move accordingly. And I'll probably get more things done, or just be out there more.
Okay, I was gonna say, but isn't that still you being in some form of your comfort zone?
Yeah, so maybe I should just step out regardless of what is actually going on.
I that might be it.
What
Y'all
about
be
you?
proud of me though.
Why?
I'm working towards stepping out regardless of what's going on.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. You said, what about me?
Yeah, because
I was
you
actually about to
oh, okay, cool.
answer.
You ain't about to skate through this whole episode without saying
So I was being a great
good.
interviewer though. So going back to the first question of like when I think of comfort, and I think of like a comfort zone, I think of deep couch sitting. So for me, when I think of comfort, I think of everything looking a very specific way or everything going my way, I think is what I think of when I think of comfort. And I think that with that, it's like no added surprises. It's like I don't even know how to describe it because I want to say a bubble, but it's not the bubble that I always talk about. It's not like the safe space that I talk about. It's like a bubble where like being very confined.
Yeah, I was gonna say almost like shelter.
Yes, being like sheltered type of thing. I think that is like a level of my comfort zone where other people handle things. Like if anything stresses me out, someone else can handle it. Huh?
I was just gonna say to this conversation and to your point, it made me think of, I don't know if this may or may not be true, but I'm gonna say it's true. Your comfort zone directly correlates with your childhood.
I was just thinking that while I was talking. Because when I was thinking of it, like my comfort zone is, I mean, with things, if things not going my way, like I can just go to my room. You know, your parents handle stuff for you. Like they'll step in if you need them to, type of thing. And I think that, yeah, like I don't gotta pay the bills. I don't gotta book the doctor's appointments. My mom could call. That's like what I think of when I think of a comfort zone. So, going back to, I guess, do I feel like I've left my comfort zone? I feel like I have had to leave my comfort zone a lot, very often throughout my life. Some was by choice. Most was I was taking too long to move, so I got pushed out of my comfort zone. Some were big steps and then some were smaller steps. But I feel like my comfort zone has actually evolved over the years also. Because as you know, you step out of your comfort zone, you do something, and then like the pattern is that becomes your new normal. That becomes your new level of comfort a lot of times. So I think that I have stepped out often and my comfort zone has evolved, but there are certain things that are still the same. Like there are certain comforts that I have not released yet, I guess, or I'm working to release now, or will be released very soon. And then the last question that I asked you guys, so, well, you said you've left your comfort zone.
Yeah, I think I have. Not in every aspect, but there's been scenarios where I didn't always leave it by choice. Some of it I left by necessity, and some of it I have left by choice. But I think for me, my comfort zone, if I was to describe it, it would be place where I don't have to make the decision, and or I can go at the pace of the group, and I know stepping out of my comfort zone usually involves me doing stuff by myself and exploring by myself and coming back and sharing after the fact. We want everybody to go at the same pace because it's like, dang, I don't want to be out here dolely, for real dolely, or I'm dolely and I'm ahead of my time with certain stuff, and now I don't know what to do because there's nobody else that's been around here that's done this before. So I would typically wait until people caught up so then we can have the conversation together. And so me recognizing now that I can't do that and be successful in the way that I would like to, I'm just not doing it no more. So forget it. We're going to be where we're going to be at.
I was just going to say, I do agree with you. It's just about the comfort zone in general. The comfort zone, I'm going to do this, air quotations. It's really not even comfortable. So it's like, it's just normal.
It's familiar. So,
yeah, familiar.
Yeah. It's familiar.
Yeah. The comfort zone isn't comfortable. It's just familiar. So it's not even, I don't think the thing is to be worried about whether you're in your comfort zone or not in your comfort zone. The biggest thing is, are you evolving? Because a lot of times you feel stuck or can become stuck or stagnant because you're doing this one thing for so long. Some people say it's consistency. Some people say it's insanity. Some people just say you're comfortable. But the biggest thing is to make sure that you're evolving. So when you get the urge to like shift or pivot, it's probably time to evolve. Mm-hmm. Not to throw in the towel, but to just take it to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not a thing of, if I do this way now, I'm not consistent anymore. You keep up the consistency, but you could also up the quality, up the value, up the passion. Mm-hmm. I'm really talking to myself. Mm-hmm. These thoughts that I'll be having. Mm-hmm. So again, I wasn't spiraling.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking, opening up my mind's eye.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I do think the comfort zone is like, it's a certain level of familiarity. It's like a familiar level of uncomfortability, because a lot of times when you're in your comfort zone, we as humans, we have the urge to evolve, right? So we want to evolve, we want to grow, but the fear comes in because of the unknown. So a level of xenophobia, if you will.
That's
a dog. Okay, because I thought that was a tree. Oh, sorry. I thought there was a tree scraping up against the window. Okay.
Let me in. I got something to say. I've been comfortable for 25 years.
But, like, it's a level of xenophobia, and I might... Yeah, xenophobia is the fear of the unknown, so... I think that's where that starts to kick in, and that, I guess, steers you away from actually stepping out of your comfort zone. Even like looking, like, let me just see what's outside of here real quick. And I think that for me, the last question was, what would be required for me to leave my comfort zone? I think just literally is just trusting myself. So like you were saying, like listening to yourself, but also be like knowing that I'm okay regardless. So I feel like I've been letting go of certain habits or certain things, patterns that I've recognized within my comfort zone, things that have like held me in the perpetual cycle that is my comfort zone. And I've been working to actually release those things. Is there anything in particular that had you in the holding pattern that is your comfort zone?
That was actually going to be my question for y'all. But it's fine.
It's always a question.
Yeah.
Give me that. Finally. I would say perspective. My perspective.
Your perspective of everything, or is it any one thing in particular?
It's my perspective on what I need.
Ooh. What you need to survive, or just in life?
In general, what I need to thrive and what I need to survive. Just what I, my needs in general.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at the things. I have everything I need, right? But I look at what I don't have.
Cup half empty.
Yeah. So I look at what I don't have opposed to looking at what I do have. Because I feel like if I had what I don't have, it'll help me. It'll help me
get to
where I want to go. But if I needed that thing, I would have it. So clearly, since I don't have that thing, I don't need that thing. And the biggest thing, pause, is the biggest thing for me is if I'm on a creative journey, if I am creative, it only makes sense that God has given me opportunity to create whatever I want to create.
Mm-hmm.
If everything is based off energy, I'm an energy man. I ain't a mind reader.
Mm-hmm. I'm a vibe reader.
Come on now.
Y'all get that song.
That's that synchronicity. Telepathy. But yeah, if I'm a creative, if I say I'm a creative, I say I want to create, it's only right that God gives me the opportunity to create. And that may be in song form, painting form, fashion form, speaking form, life form, whatever, like just create. If I, yeah, and I'll be talking about all the time, I'm bringing my imagination to life, I'm bringing my imagination to life. I have a blank canvas. Mm-hmm. If I don't have something, or if I want something, let's make it appear.
Yeah.
Bing, bada boom, bada bam.
Blah.
In my head, when you said "blow," I thought of the old school gun sound effects, where they shoot.
Boom!
And it's, yeah, it's a bang.
Pow!
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought it was pow.
Bang!
Pow
bang,
is when they punch,
bang,
usually.
Bang! Bang!
Pow!
Don DeMarco. So, for me, I think the biggest patterns have been, it's been twofold. It's been comparison and not wanting to look away in front of other people. Those have probably been the two things that have been the peanut butter and jelly to my comfort zone. And because for a lot of stuff, I'm looking at people and I'm comparing, and it's like, all right, I'm gonna just do what so and so did, and that's comfortable because I don't have to create the thing that I have to do next.
Mm-hmm.
On the flip side, when it comes to not wanting to look a certain way, because I'm imagining how people are looking and perceiving me, or I'm thinking about how I'm being perceived, it was a lot of times it would stop me from doing certain things, because I'm in my head, before I got there, I've already created this round table of people who have, they already have seven opinions, and I've already ran through the seven opinions that they're gonna say, and I've already decided it ain't worth me doing it, so I'm gonna stay in the house. And that's really what it be feeling like. Right now, but I'm stepping out of it now, but understanding a lot of that, and we talked about this a little bit, but being able to say what you're gonna do, say what you want to do directly, irregardless of somebody's laughing in your face,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing. That was a big thing, because like you're not about to treat me like I'm crazy,
right?
But then the realization I had for myself was, all right, they're gonna laugh. So what? I'm still gonna do it,
right?
Right. So, you can laugh now. It's cool. And then I want you to keep that same level of laughter When I come back, I would laugh right in my face. When it's millions, billions. But
Trillions.
nah. But nah, so those.
Slap you with some money.
Can you imagine?
Backhand or front hand? Remember back in 1973? I told you I had a dream.
But yeah, those that's exactly what it's been for me. Can you imagine Martin Luther King slapping somebody?
He wasn't even alive in 1973. Yeah. That's sad.
I mean, I used the I Have a Dream.
I know, but yeah. Damani was saying it.
Yeah, oh, yeah, he wasn't alive in 1973.
Yeah. No, I was just. Yeah.
Nah, he wrote Human Nature. He was alive. Yeah, he was alive.
Yeah, he was a fly on the wall.
Crazy.
If you listen closely, it's buzzing in the.
Yeah, you'll hear. That's him in the background.
Had to drop the gems off to the people. Can't keep all of the gems to yourself.
Where next time you're going to come back as a roach?
Whoa.
Hey, no, don't disrespect.
Yeah,
I'm going to say, that's hella disrespectful.
If you hold on, that's baggage.
What?
If you hold on to the gift, come back as a roach.
Oh, you said if he hold on to the gift. I thought you just said in general.
Oh, nah, yeah. If you hold on to the gift, if you hold on to the gems and don't give it to the world, you're going to come back as a roach.
That's wild. I still feel like that's not right. I don't know if God would be that cruel.
Creative. Somebody had to be a roach.
Oh, I don't know if God would be that creative. You said somebody had to be a roach. Why can't a roach just be a roach?
They have spirits, too.
Roach spirit.
That's a nasty spirit. That's a nasty spirit.
Man, that's just a water bug.
Oh no. Okay, we're moving on.
Anyway,
we're moving on.
Back to the.
Some people are comfortable with that.
That's we. I'm uncomfortable with it. So can we not? What was the question? Oh, go ahead.
I remember what my other question was going to be.
Roaches.
So, okay.
Go ahead. Question.
Making me uncomfortable.
I was going to say...
About to quit funny. The pod.
My question was going to be, what's the hardest part for you guys about stepping out of your comfort zone?
Loneliness.
I was about to repeat what you said. But then I was like, wait, is that really my answer? Yeah, I guess it's that. I didn't say what my holding pattern was.
Oh, please, go ahead.
My holding pattern is dimming my personality down. That's what I discovered earlier.
I'll be doing that too.
Yeah, like I'm very expressive. That's what Damani says. I like that. I'm very expressive in a variety of ways. Sometimes I can be even seen as theatrical. Breeze called me that.
That's the word I was thinking of.
So, this morning I woke up and I did my morning routine, but then when I got out of my room, I was like saying good morning to all of our plants. And I said good morning to the guys, and I was like, hey, good morning.
And it's Grand Rise.
And luckily, you were oil pulling, so I didn't, I was not met with that. He was like a what's up type of thing. But like, I dim down my personality sometimes so that I guess I don't overwhelm people or they're not looking at me like, in a crazy way or anything like that. So I'm more, I guess, palatable. Ew, I don't like that. But
it's like instead of making yourself a seasoned, well seasoned gumbo, you decided to make yourself some chicken noodle soup with no seasoning.
Yeah, it's a little salt.
You said, yeah, I don't. There's too much flavor for everybody. I don't want to overwhelm everybody's palate.
No, I'll be my dad's chicken noodle soup.
You said your dad make bland chicken noodle soup?
No, he got seasoning in it. I don't be bland. Like, I'm not completely, like, just dry and no personality.
Okay.
Like, you can't go wrong with chicken noodle soup.
Yeah, like, it's like, okay, chicken noodle soup.
You cold?
Got seasoning.
Chicken noodle soup.
Got all the...
You don't feel good? Chicken noodle soup.
Dad be having the potatoes in it and squash and stuff. Like, it's something a little bit in there, but it ain't gumbo, though. You know? Yeah, so, like, it's good, but it's not, you know?
That's who be fire.
That soup actually really do be good. That's what I'm saying. Like, it be good. But gumbo is a different type of, like...
Different type of flavor.
It's the different idea type of flavor of, profile.
The idea of gumbo is supposed to be 10 times better than chicken noodle soup. But my dad makes some fire chicken noodle soup.
No, it is fire. I'm sure and he could throw down on some gumbo.
It could compete with anybody's gumbo. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, Dad. I might ask Dad to make some gumbo.
You can't eat it?
He could make a vegan one. Goodness. He's creative. I don't even know if that man ever made gumbo. I'm gonna be like, do they got a Jamaican version of gumbo? Can you just figure it out? Ask grandma.
Stew peas. No, boy.
It's my jerk chicken.
Stew peas and
green
rice.
Green chicken.
But so I think that is one of my holding patterns, is like actually dimming down my we'll say watering down my personality a little bit.
I can attest to that as well. Dimming down my just me.
Mm-hmm.
One, the whole standing out thing. I would say standing out. Let's go back to the loneliness. So if I am me, and typically stuff be easy. So this go back to the pace of the environment. I could easily merge in and do whatever because stuff be easy. If I see you dribble a ball, I'm like, I could do that. I dribble the ball. I might be not be the best,
but I'm not the worst. Get dribbled.
So if I stand out, then it's gonna be like I'm on an island by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because like Damani was just saying. When he steps out of his comfort zone, a lot of time he's by himself and then he has to come back and tell the people what he found. He's the forager.
Mm-hmm.
The scout.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm on an island by myself and I advance so quickly that I feel like I may continue to be on this island by myself. But the people that I want to be with, they
different island? Or they still
they on
the
island that I left. And it's just like, I don't want to leave them with a chance to spend the rest of my time alone.
Well, you can always, I guess you can't really like go back and visit the island. You can, but, you know, that's interesting. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, this is really funny. This is a TikTok I was about to post. This is exactly what I was.
Oh, that's funny.
So it's just funny we landed here. But go
ahead. I was going to say that, I think, I don't know. I think that we have to look at that differently. Like, not in the idea that we're leaving the people. Because even though I'm, like, I might be going first, but I may just need to be inspired. Like, I might, blah, 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 blah. My mission might be to inspire you to then make your way to this island as well. Right? So when you look at it like that, I feel like it's not as, it doesn't have to feel as lonely.
Christopher Columbus.
I did think of Christopher Columbus, but I didn't want to say it because he ain't discovered nothing.
We don't give him no credit for that.
Right. But like if you,
colonized.
If you think of it like that, it's like even if you're scouting out the land, you're scouting out the land with the intention to bring your family and your friends there mm-hmm. with you. You're scouting it out to make sure that it's safe,
colorable.
That there's food, that there's, yeah, it's livable.
Survivable. Yeah,
livable. Yeah. Stuff like that. Like there's water, like it's basic needs that are there so that they can come and enjoy the life that you're living or enjoy the things that you discovered, right? So I think that we have to start looking at it like that. Instead of looking at it like I'm leaving the people behind. And I mean, some people might decide to just stay back.
Yeah, some people deserve to be left behind. But I was just going to say, life is a lot easier outside of your comfort zone. Or maybe I should. I'm going to stand on easy. Life not hard. It was never meant to be hard. A lot of times we already know what we need to do, know what we're supposed to do. We just hesitate. So it's like a filter of, I don't want to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I know what's going to happen if I stay here in this comfort zone, opposed to if I experience the unknown or experience where I actually want to be.
Yeah.
So it's like, if I make this clothing collection, nobody could buy it. Everybody could buy it. I might not be able to find a manufacturer. I might be like, F the manufacturer, I'm going to do it myself. Because now they got tariffs. It might be cheaper for me to just go get the materials, but it's going to take longer and stuff like that. Or it's like, it's so many options. It's like when you go to a fast food restaurant, they only give you a certain amount of options because if you have endless amount of options, you won't do anything. You won't choose anything. Mm-hmm. So that's the same thing with the unknown. When you go out into the unknown, this is a blank canvas, especially if nobody ever traveled this path before. You can't tell me I'm right. You can't tell me I'm wrong. So I'm making it up as I go, and I'm going to come back and tell y'all if it's right or wrong, what's right or wrong. So and people going to look at you like, oh, he did this, this, and this. She did this, this, and this to get here. Now they want to be there. It's just a spiral of easiness because, like, you making it up. You can't tell me this is the wrong way because nobody made it past this door. Nobody explored past this door. So you don't know. I could say he's a zombie. It's a zombie apocalypse out here. I'm in the land of vegan milk and honey. Like, it's just for me.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think it's... I wouldn't use the word easy, but I will say it's... I want to say it's like, it's fair game. Like, it's just... You have a lot more freedom going into stepping outside of your comfort zone. I think the fear is that with uncertainty, you don't know how you're going to feel when you get there. And I think the part is that I don't know how I'm going to feel once I leave this spot. Right here, I'm comfortable. I know exactly how much space I have. I know exactly how much I can move my arms. I would like some more space, but I know exactly how much space I have. Right? It may be a little bit uncomfortable, but I know how much uncomfortability I can handle before it starts to get too much. I know exactly the limit. Out there, I don't know what the limit is. I might experience something that's way more uncomfortable than what's here, and I don't even want to risk the chance of having to experience that. But you can't live like that because there's also a chance that things can be way easier, like you were saying, and it can be way more fulfilling, way more free. But I think the thing that usually causes us to stop is we don't know how we're going to feel when we get there, and we're terrified to know, hey, if I get there and I wasted my time, if I get there and I don't like how everything looks, will I ever be able to go back? At least that's for me.
I was just going to say, I say easy because of the fulfillment aspect of it and of the freedom that you have. So, I mean, it could be overwhelming, but to make a decision is a lot of times it's a yes or no, a right or left. And I feel like it was a word that you said that I can't remember at this very moment. But whatever that word is, it's just like embarrassment. It's a choice. Mm. So you could choose to be embarrassed. Oh, comfortability.
Mm-hmm. We were talking about all day. The title.
Comfortability and uncomfortability are just like embarrassment. It's a choice. So if I go out into the unknown, I think it go back to perspective. A lot of times we do stuff, we be nervous to do stuff, but once we do it, it's like, oh, that wasn't bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like tattoo, thought it was gonna hurt.
I did.
That one depending on where you get it at, but it was like, it wasn't at that bad. A lot of times how we think of things, the experience that we allow ourselves to experience mentally is a lot worse than the physical.
Mm-hmm.
Experience of that thing.
Yeah, a lot of times we imagine it a lot worse than it is.
Yeah, and I've heard, I mean, people have said it and I've experienced it as well, but things are never as bad as they seem, and they're also never as good. When it's as good as it seems, it's never really all great and it's never really all bad. It's always some gray area, no pun intended, but it's always some level of, all right, in my mind, this was going to be way worse. It wasn't that bad. And or when it comes to some of the stuff that we enjoy doing, and maybe it's because of the expectation that's attached to it, but when it comes to the stuff that we enjoy doing, you get there and it might be like, dang, I thought this was going to be a little bit more fulfilling, I want to do something more. And that's what kind of pushes you to keep going. But I think in both cases, it's going to be a little bit of like, it's not that bad. It might not be that great, but all of it is in an effort to push you to wherever you're aiming to go.
Yeah. I feel like comfort is good, but we got to change where we're comfortable at or what we're comfortable with. You go ahead.
I was going to just kind of piggyback off of that. It's like being okay with your comfortability also evolving mm-hmm. as you evolve.
It's like your stress level.
Yeah. Mine's like this right now.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is. Or maybe you're building up your resiliency. And maybe that's a easier way to think about it. Because like the more you... When you're first working out, it might be 15 pounds might be a lot. And then eventually it's so easy that it doesn't feel like you're lifting anything. So now you're more resilient. So that you end up being able to lift 20 pounds and like, all right, now this is a little challenging. All right, cool. Yeah. Cool. And then you gradually just moving up. Life is working out. But that's all. It's just one big workout.
Even with that, this is why I believe perspective is so important, because even if, say, this goes back to like resources or what I need, what I have. Say if I'm working out, I finally get up to 15 pounds. All I have is 15 pounds. So now you have to get creative. How can I make this 15 pounds feel heavier? And now you're working on controlling the 15. Mm. Like when you're working out, you're controlling the workout, like doing a controlled workout. So things may be a lot slower, so you can actually get the tension that you need or the resistance that you need to make it feel like you lifting and see some type of improvement or gains.
And I think in the same vein when it comes to the working out, right? If you have the same weights, right? There is a limit to how much you can do with it. Mm-hmm. So I think what usually ends up happening is either, again, sticking with the weightlifting, either you can get more creative, you can do more of the same, or you have to get more weight, right? So it's just, there's always, because this reminds me of a TikTok I was watching. It was this dude, she was training this girl, and she was trying to go with a lower weight. And he was like, all right, go ahead. So she did it, and she started, and he was like, now look at you. Your form is worse because it's so easy. You're not actually working anything because it's so easy. And that's pretty much what the level of your comfort zone is because you've gotten to a point where it's actually doing you more harm to continue to do this than it is good. And so until you step out of it, you can't actually get any benefit for real.
I was going to say, that's how we was with the I Write Wednesdays, doing the covers. Yeah. And that goes back to comfortability. I did that for too long, like longer than I should have been doing it for. But, I mean, great experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like a time when they were talking about atomic habits. When you get to a certain level and you learn how to dribble already with your right hand. After a while, dribbling with your right hand isn't doing anything for you. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to dribble with your left, and then you need to be able to do the crossover, whatever it is. And I know for me, when it came to certain writing, I was in the same way. I'm doing covers, I'm doing remixes. All right, cool. Eventually, that gets very easy for me, and I always feel it. I always know when I'm like, all right, I'm not challenging myself when it comes to my writing or recording, whatever, because I'll start doing it to the point where it feels like I'm doing it, and I didn't actually get anything done, which is a weird space to be in because I'm literally doing the work, but I feel like I'm not doing anything anymore.
Yeah, it's not stimulating at this point. So it's like so I was working, and somebody was like, it was like a DoorDash person. I was like, "How you doing?" She was like, "Oh, I'm always great." I was like, "How you doing?" I was like, "Amazing." And then, so then she was like, "How you like the job? Well, how long you been working here?" I was like, "Since August." She was like, "How you like it?" I was like, "I mean, I like the people. Why you don't like the job? I'll be bored." And then she was like, "Man, I wish I had a job where I'd be making money. And I'd be thinking, the amount of times that I'd be interrupted, like the stuff that I'd be doing, I'd be doing stuff while I was there. I wrote a verse last night. But I'd be doing stuff while I was there. But the amount of interruptions that happen, it's hard to even get in a flow state. Like the stuff that we be doing, it'll behoove us to get into a flow state. So if I get interrupted every 5 minutes, I
flow state out the window.
It ain't no flow state. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's like, and I was journaling at the time. So I was like, commoners will never understand. Will never understand. Commoners will never understand.
Royalty breeze over here. Said the commoners.
Commoners
will never understand.
Commoners will never understand.
Be gone, peasant.
I think we should use a different word.
The beautiful commoners will never
beautiful understand. Beautiful in
he
front
added
of
an
commoners.
Adjective. I said use a different word.
Regular people will never understand the plight that the creative deals with by going to work every day.
Yeah.
In the field or industry that is completely
not what they're
nothing, not in a realm. But it helps. It helps keep the creativity going and keeps us moving forward with creating because we have things to talk about. We have some everything isn't great, everything isn't peachy, but it's still a thing of I would rather be somewhere else doing what I love to do, what I enjoy doing, rather than be here helping you and having this conversation.
Yeah, I feel like when it comes to, I don't know, trying to get into a flow state at work or even just trying to create while at work, it's like a, I want to call it a catch-22, but I don't feel like that's the right terminology for this. So on the one hand, it's great because you are getting experiences that you can use in your creation. So that's like the beautiful thing. You have different people's stories, different conversations, different things will spark so many ideas. But then sometimes it sparks the energy or the like, the idea is right in the moment where you want to create right then. And it's difficult to do that in when you're in a space where, well, you got, for you guys, it's like you're helping people or you can get interrupted every 5 minutes. For me, where I'm at, I don't have, the work that I'm doing is like production based. So like, I don't have a moment where I can actually slow down and write. Or sometimes it's even like, I can write, but it's only for like 2 seconds because, you know, I'm being watched. So it's not as easy to do. And I wouldn't even say, I don't know. It's just, it's great for the creativity, but it also can be a hindrance when it comes to the creative process.
I would say it's great for the creativity. It's a hindrance to the creator. Actually, not a hindrance, an annoyance to the creator.
I don't mind that. I was going to say, I think it's just very hard to get into flow because typically flow takes about 90 minutes, they say, for you to actually achieve flow. I'm just coming here with the facts.
Wait, it take 90 minutes to get into a flow state?
Yes.
I thought it was like 17.
I thought it was 15.
Mm-hmm. No.
We on a accelerated
flow.
Well, so for you to get, so pretty much the number y'all are referring to, if I'm not mistaken, it was if you do something for at the minimum 18 minutes a day, you end up being in the top whatever percent of people who do the thing because most people aren't consistent enough to do it for that long. In general, it takes you about 90 minutes to get into the flow state, and that's because there's other things that you're when you're there, the first 10 minutes you're here but you're thinking about dinner, you're here but you're thinking about what I have to do, what this means in the big scheme of things. It usually takes around that amount of time. Again, I think for some people you can get to the space where you get there sooner, but in general it takes that amount of time because you have to get out of the way of everything that's not the task that you're working on. Otherwise, you're not really doing the task yet until you get to that, or typically around that 90-minute mark.
What do y'all do for more than 90 minutes, like in one sitting?
Eat. Sorry, no, I'm playing. I'm playing.
Smorgasbord.
That's a lot of food.
I was just thinking that. That's a lot.
But what do I do. I'm strategic block. I might write. I might create. When you get it, when you act, that's the reason why it's very, when people talk about getting into a flow state, when you get into a flow state, you don't really stop and you look up and you're like, wow, 2 hours has passed. Cause after around the, it's not always 90 minutes, but that's what they said. It generally is like if you hit the 90 minute mark, you've probably gotten into that level of flow. And now all of the outside world has completely disappeared and the task is the only thing that has consumed you. Like sports, I've played sports for more than an hour. And I know when I got into a flow state and it feels like I can't miss, that wasn't happening in the first 15 minutes. Like there was nothing that I could have done at that point that would have gotten this. A lot of times it was me being angry, which kind of goes to the annoyance part, but me being angry about things not working, and that made me hyper focus on whatever the thing that I was doing until it started working. But a lot of times it takes us a long time to do that. So when we're at work, or a lot of the creators are at work, and we're trying to create, the constant distractions stop you from really immersing yourself in the experience. And I think that's what it is. It's more like, it's great for the job, it's great for inspiration because you need the resistance to be able to create something. But it's very hard for you to immerse yourself in that when every minute and 30, because I timed it, y'all, because they're annoying, but every minute and 30 seconds somebody comes in and they need something from you.
So what you gonna do once you get to where you... Smack you with somebody. Remember, 1973, you came to my job and asked me that question.
Wasted 5 minutes. My bad. We good.
I was riding.
I also do think, though, the habit that I've developed, which isn't always the best habit, but when I actually get a pocket of like, oh, I'm actually catching something, I actually feel the inspiration. If you don't do something with it, the window be going. Mm-hmm. And then, because I might have, like, I kind of want to write, oh, maybe I'll just, and I start mulling something over, or maybe I get distracted for a second. And now the window that I thought I had, I'm like, all right, I'm ready, I'm quote unquote ready to do it. It's gone. Everything is going to be fighting against me. And it's like, I'm making time. When you don't use it, the time ends up becoming an enemy instead of an ally. But...
So I'm wondering if, because I don't feel like it always takes me 90 minutes to get into flow. I think it depends on what I'm doing.
You
connected. Yeah. Tell us home. But I'm just wondering, now that you mentioned like the window of time, if getting into a flow state can take up to 90 minutes, but it's really the concept of being able to, it's about to sound weird, but jump through the window at the right time. I agree with that. I think if you're able to like actually, okay, I jumped in. I'm in the window. It's like double dutch. Mm-hmm. You're able to get into the ropes at the right time. Like you can jump for a long time and then you're in flow at that point. Versus I might have to wait 90 minutes for me to find
another window to open.
Yeah, another window to open. I'm just sitting there just at the ropes. Like, all right, I got it. Okay, okay, okay. Ah, okay. It wasn't it. You know, like. I wonder if it's more so that. So I think maybe it can take the 90 minutes because a lot of times we don't jump through the window of opportunity that we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I feel like it's a hesitation thing. And also, a lot of times, well, I'm going to say, since we can experience things mentally first and then physically, a lot of times it doesn't feel like it takes 90 minutes because mentally we're already doing the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if we limit the distractions, like the outside distractions, say if we writing in your mind all day, you've been thinking about this verse, or for the past hour you've been thinking about writing this verse. Once you actually start, you already got an hour under your belt of thinking about writing this verse, and like regardless of what's going on in the back of your mind, this verse, this beat, the concept, everything is playing in your head. So now it might only take you 30 minutes or 15 minutes because now you're actually physically doing it, but
you've been in the mental space for that.
Yeah. And I mean, I think a lot of the early work is clearing the path so that you can get there. And that's the reason why the 90 minutes, like, I want y'all to know that it sounds like a lot of time, but it's really not a lot of time. Like, doing like it's an hour and 30, which is, it's really not as long as it, as it sounds, but yeah, I feel like you can get there quicker, but it takes a lot of practice for you to be able to get there quicker. So when you've gotten into the habit of actually doing it for the whole 90 minutes or whatever, you end up the distance between you clearing the path and you being in the actual flow, the window shortens. So that's why you hear the people like, "Hey, I did this in 15, 20 minutes." That's because they're constantly they don't leave the space. Most of us, we leave the space, and now it's especially, I think I heard J. Cole talk about that when he stopped writing, when he came back, the confidence that he had in his writing wasn't there as where so before where he would just kind of take a line and he would be like, "All right, this is the line that I'm gonna do," and just move on. He's obsessing over every single line, and now it's like something that would have took him 20 minutes if he was locked in and he wasn't in his flow state. It took him 2 hours because he's doubting himself. And I think during those times, at least for me, whenever I've gotten into the flow state with anything, I don't have time to doubt myself. I don't have any other thought except this thing is in my way. Let me move this out of my way. Or this is the task. Let me do it.
And I'll just say, kind of going back to the original topic, is I think that a lot of times that space of us either attempting to get into the flow state or whatever, like you were talking about, like you have to move the debris. I think a lot of times we don't move the debris because we're still in our comfort zone. Like I think that's a part of it because the unknown is like, okay, well this stuff has been in this road for a million years. Like, I don't know. Number one, I don't know what this is, right? So, I don't know if I could actually touch it. I don't know what's under it. Like, it's been here. I just drive around it. Ain't nobody ever said I had to actually go down this road. Like, so I think that in thinking about like the getting into the flow state, even like the fact that it might take 90 minutes, a lot of times it's because in our comfort zone, I never had to move this. This might actually be a quicker path to the flow state, but I opted not to move it because I'm comfortable with taking my full 90 minutes and not staying here. This path might allow me to stay here, but I'm too scared to touch this because I don't want to know what it
Yeah,
is.
I mean, even still, the idea, if you tell somebody, all right, like if I'm thinking objectively, me being like, I have to wait an hour before I get something, I have to work on this an hour before I get something. That might be just enough of a deterrent right there. Like, bro, you want me? I have to spend an hour sitting here and being like, nope. And it's like, that's frustrating. Or it might be like, I spent an hour and I'm like, oh, I got distracted. Let me get back. Oh, I got distracted. Let me get back. An hour of that? I don't want to. I could just sit here and just chill. That's what, I think that's a lot of what the mindset is. You was about to say something, no, my man.
I was going to say, it don't even have to be a nope. So it's just like, it goes back to perspective. An hour of me, like we sticking to writing, an hour of me just getting my thoughts out. It's going to take me an hour to get something I like. But if I'm thinking about it as I get to just get my thoughts out, like yesterday, all I was thinking about was because I was like, you know, my life is amazing. I can say this for a fact. My life is amazing. I just be looking at the wrong things. And yesterday I was like, tomorrow I get to record a podcast with my friends. Like I get to just talk to my friends and record it. That's actually fine. Like I woke up and I got to paint. I got to paint and I made dinner.
And it's crazy because that's something that I had learned. It's like soccer, right? For me, when it comes to and it's similar to the perspective thing. If you focus on the goalie,
You're gonna hit the
you're gonna hit
goalie
the goalie, right? If you
every
focus on
time.
the goal, your chances are you're gonna have a better chance hitting the goal, right? But if you really look at it, the goalie is this big. The goal is this big. Why on earth am I paying attention to the thing that's obvious? Like it's a smaller target one, and it's like, and that's not what I really want to hit. So it's like, if I just keep my mind on the goal instead of the goalie, or the thing that the goal instead of the goalie, I'll be good. We be focusing on the hindrance, and we be like, the hindrance is so annoying. The hindrance is so overwhelming. It's like, well, I mean, it is, but look at your goal. Like, your goal is huge, bro.
But sometimes it'd be way more comfortable to focus on the small thing, the small distraction, than to focus on, like you said earlier, all the possibilities. Like, there's a bunch of possibilities that's right past this goalie. But I know this goalie. Mm. We play against each other all the time. So let me just focus on the goalie. I'm going to psych her out. I'm going to just psych her out before I just, like, no, just look at where you're trying to hit. But sometimes it's more comfortable than looking at the larger thing.
I would say it is because it's a valid excuse. So say y'all know I play soccer. I told y'all I'm going to score a goal every game. Mm-hmm. If the goalie not there and I miss, that's on me. If the goalie is there, if the goalie is there and I miss, I could be like, nah, the goalie was there. Nah, she blocked it. He blocked it. It wasn't me. It's an excuse. It's an easy cop out to be like, hey, it wasn't my fault. They just blocked it.
Like, all I heard in my head was, it ain't my fault. Did I do that? No. Y'all ain't hear that?
I didn't hear that at all. I can tell you I never.
I was like, did I do that?
That would have been the one. But I was going to say, to be honest, after hearing all this and us having this conversation, it just sounds like everybody's focus need more focus. Because it sounds like a focus issue.
Or maybe less focus.
No. You need to be able to focus on the things you want to focus on instead of the things you don't.
But what if the things that you don't want to focus on are actually the things that you want to focus on? But never mind. That's a different conversation.
That means that you actually want to focus on those things. I was going to say, yeah. You keep telling yourself that you don't, so then you don't focus on them. So stop lying to yourself. Yeah.
That's the first part. Don't lie to yourself.
Don't lie to yourself. Trust yourself. And understand and accept what you want to focus on and focus on those things. I think that's truly, like, what it is. But that also means getting clear on what you actually want and what you value in life. So that's something that I've been learning. That's why, you know, I know that because I just had that realization.
Mm-hmm. And it.
So.
I don't know why it sounded like y'all. I thought you were about to say Andell for some reason. And I was like, oh, man, Andell. It's crazy. You're supposed to be Andell.
Yeah, R.I.P. Andell.
Crazy.
But anyways, do y'all have any final thoughts on comfortability patterns that are holding you in comfort in your comfort zone?
Follow your heart. Yeah, I'm gonna say follow your heart. Follow your joy. Follow your fulfillment. Don't worry about whether you're comfortable or not. Just know that everything is already done. So if I'm here, don't even worry about being comfortable. Worry about knowing the fact that you're divinely covered, divinely protected, and divinely supported. That's all I got to say.
Don't even worry. Just know.
No, folk. Yeah, just know. I said worry?
Yeah.
Pardon me. Just know that you're divinely protected, divinely covered, and divinely supported.
Right.
Appreciate the correction, Queen.
No problem. Grand Rise.
Yeah. I would say... What would I say?
Hotep.
Whoa.
Ain't nobody Hotep. I'm
cut that out.
But yeah. I would say use everything to your advantage. Even the moments where it feels uncomfortable. Like that there's still an opportunity for you to do something with it. And you'll be fine, you know? Everything a little uncomfortable to start.
Yeah.
And then it get comfortable and then you chilling.
Then you do it again. And my final thoughts are, go ahead and jump.
Go ahead and jump.
No, but just like really think about what you want to focus on, what you actually care about. And, you know, focus on your peace, your love, unity, all of those things, you know. But yeah, I would say, just figure out what you want, because the things that you want might be uncomfortable, and just focus on those. Focus on bringing those to fruition, and just know that you're fine. That's really it. Like, know that you're good. It might seem scary, but you're fine. And thank you guys for joining us for another episode of the Gray Area Podcast. Yes. I'm Shaquoia D.
Badman Breezins in Ear. It's your boy Damani.
And thank you for joining us for another episode. Oh, don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Tell a friend, tell a friend, tell a friend. Hit that notification bell so you never miss an upload. Ding. And join our Patreon if you want to watch this podcast live and early, as well as other content that we have available for you guys. Make sure you join the Patreon. Also, check the description for all the things that we have going on. And if you like this episode, you're going to love the one that's linked on the screen up above. We will see you guys next week.
Bye. Adios.
Stay blessed. Stay black, people.
You say what?
And know yourself. Know your worth. Jukebox, hit me with another J.
Get on my face. Get on my face. Get on my.
Get on my motherfucking face.
Please.
Push your goddamn button.